So here we go with our wonderful new Mesechet, Bezrat Hashem, on Mesechet Ta'anit. And as we'll soon see, we're not going to forget so quickly Mesechet Rosh Hashanah, because it turns out that the beginning of Ta'anit is, just as you would expect, very profoundly connected to Rosh Hashanah, as the Gemara openly says, which we're about to see. But I just want to point out that one of the central inyanim that the Rambam brings in terms of how it is that we learn to relate to the world is in terms of Ta'anit. And one of the great tragedies, I believe, of our times is that there are no longer any Ta'aniyot. In other words, it used to be that the Ta'anit was a responsive, deep awareness of what the world is like. And therefore, someone who is not mis'ana, as we've learned so many times, as the Rambam explains, is cruel. He's an achzari. And that depth of cruelty, I think, has become the norm for us. Because the nature of achzari is that he simply doesn't care about the world. He's going through life as if he is disconnected. Whatever, whatever, it's whatever. The classic modern expression, whatever, the most incredibly careless and cruel kind of word that you could say. Nothing could really matter to me. And since the whole point of Ta'anit is to recognize intimately the responsiveness to any change in a situation, and not the change that is currently there, but the change that may be presaged at something. I sense that there's a change coming. And we'll see that this is like even getting a glimpse of like one locust, getting a glimpse of a new virus. The Gemara is going to discuss all of these cases. That the immediate response in terms of Klal Yisrael is the chiyuv to be mit'aneh. And the whole idea of the chatzotzrot and the tkios, note the relationship of Rosh Hashanah to Ta'anit, even in the closing elements of Rosh Hashanah that talked about Tkiyat HaShofar. It was the contrast of mitzvahs hayom b'shofar versus mitzvahs hayom b'ta'anit. But Chazal were metakena, we should always be tokea both with chatzotzrot and shofrot, so that we should have the interrelationship in terms at least of the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis Din. It should be clear what it is that we're talking about. Now, it's because of that and this whole, you know, so what happened is, well, you know, we can't have these ta'aniyot in Bavel. And then we go on to the modern idea that even the individual, you know, it doesn't really fast. It's not so good. A Talmud Chacham should better learn more instead of fasting. You know, all of the excuses for why it is that we shouldn't, chas v'shalom, have to really respond physically and suffer to what's going on in the world and in our lives. And the whole inyan of tefillah, essentially, that responsiveness, is so deeply connected to the call to awareness of the chatzotzot and the shofar that it's an absolute disaster. And what has happened is that, just as Rambam says, that a person who is not mis'ana becomes an achzari, that the whole approach is cruelty. It's simple cruelty, because it's a deep rejection of how much the world matters. It's because of that that we're going to see that the interrelationship of Rosh Hashanah and the tefillah that begins the nature of Ta'anit, which is very strange that we should begin with the issue of rain. The whole thing is going to be about rain. Because, okay, so we say, all right, the reason we begin with rain is because the first Ta'aniyot that are all mitukan by Chazal are the ones that are defined by the exact dates, that if the rain doesn't start by then, so we have the exact times, everything is misudar, then we have to have a response. We have different levels of response, of Tamei Chachomim, and then of the first Gezeres, and then of the deeper Gezeres, of Taniyot that are just during the day, and Taniyot that are also at night, and so on and so forth. The increasing Chumra, so it makes sense to begin with the timing of the relationship to the rains. But that is not the real story. By no means is that the real story. The whole point of the Mesechet, the whole beginning that we're going to see so clearly, even as we start today, is the profound interrelationship of Rosh Hashanah and its din to Gevuras Gishomim all the time, which is Gevurais, is din. That's the Hanhog of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Gevura. And the fact that Rosh Hashanah is the first of Tishrei, which is the Hayom Harat Olam, and our interrelationship with Maisa Bereishis. That is the most important part. And that's why we're going to have the whole discussion of the Ma'amadot, who read every day from Maisa Bereishis. And the question of how Ta'anit affects them. The Gevuras Kishamim, the Gemara is going to go through a whole complicated rigmarole, which seems to people who have no awareness of what's going on to be so, you know, okay, so it says this word there, and it says that word there, and then it says another word there. So if you make enough steps, you come out with the raya that you're supposed to be mentioning Gevuras Kishamim in your tefillah. So what? It's ridiculous. But the whole point is that each one of those steps is something that brings you closer and closer to recognizing the interrelated nature of phenomena that you have to be aware of. And that leads you to needing to see the interconnection between the Geshamim and the Tefillah every single day, and why it's Gevurah, and how that relates you back specifically to Maisa Bereishis, which is done in Gevurah. Because remember that the question of the depth of your connection to the world is not a local question. The question of the connection to the world is the profundity with which you approach existence in terms of the universe. Do you have an awareness of what it means to be walking around in such a universe, or do you not? If you do, then what you're led to through the deeper and deeper cheker, and we'll see that this is the inyan in the Gemara, the deeper and deeper cheker, the more you investigate, the deeper you search for what does all of this about, even as simple as physicality, the more shocking is the reality in which you live. And because of that, the more you appreciate the incredible responsiveness that you have to every last element that provides for you. And it's an amazing thing, because to most people, the increased awareness of our place in the universe and the fact that there are, you know, there's uncounted billions of planets out there and so on, you know, so that has been like removing the meaning of life, taking away the earth from being the center of the universe and taking away humanity from being the center, et cetera, et cetera. You know, all of the ideas. And that because of that, you are more distant. And the fact is, if you really think about it, that just the past decade and the coming to the awareness that of all the thousands of planets that have been discovered, and this desperate search for, we need to find an Earth-like planet. There aren't any Earth-like planets in those thousands. And when they talk about Earth-like planets, boy, have they expanded the concept of Earth-like. Yes, it's conceivable that maybe life could exist under those conditions. You look out of your window and you see the incredible, incredible richness of this planet. And you think, yeah, okay, you know, it's cheap. It's not cheap at all. And you become more and more aware of the interrelationship of Anane HaKoved and of Gishamim and of the incredible, as we're coming, you know, to finally the UN is actually caring about the weather, you know, like when it gets to the point where there's nothing left, you know, finally, oh, maybe we should have cared a little bit. And it's all in terms of Gishamim. Are the Gishamim yored in a way that's destructive? Are there no Gishamim? And you will notice in the Gemara, this is a thing that we've been speaking about for years, this idea that you can remove yourself from the world. Okay, so if you don't have Geshem, so you can, you know, you can always desalinate your seawater. That's just as good, you know. So the farmer says, what? No rain? It's okay. We'll bring you rain in jerry cans. You know, this is like wonderful. We'll make it really easy. It'll come in pipes. So you don't have to think about it. Can you imagine? This is precisely the same as saying that when there's a total breakdown because of all these pollutants and whatever, there's a total breakdown in reproduction, it's not a problem. We can have test tube babies. You don't need to worry about babies. This is a solution, you understand. Complete and total artificiality for the most intimate of things, which is what rain is. And throughout the sugya, the Gemara is going to openly express the sexuality of rain, to the extent that it's called the actual penetrator of the ground. That it's exactly the experience of what we're talking about over here, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu having the Mafteach of Geshomim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu having the Mafteach of reproduction. And those are things he doesn't give up, that they're personal. And the idea of humanity, that you can replace that intimacy with machine, basically, all artificial. It would be exactly the same. You understand the cruelty of such an approach. That's why this was so much in the dystopic, the original dystopian science fiction that first started to perceive, like 1984, what the future would be like. One of the most important things was giving up on reproduction. This was part of now Dune is becoming so popular again. Part of the whole thing about what it was that there was the deepest hatred of in the world was that people would use artificial processes because of what it had led to. And so on and so forth. So the depth of our appreciation of Ma'aseh Bereishis, which is the union of Briyasa Adam, of Hayom Haras Olam, connects our Masechta in the most complex ways, as we'll see, even starting just one day, to Maseches Rosh Hashanah specifically, even in terms of the phraseologies that we find here and we find in Maseches Rosh Hashanah and nowhere else. So that in learning this Masechet, you should never just think that we're talking about Drushas B'Yama and how do we understand this from some weird off-center Drusha. Each step in those Drushas is like the Gemara talks about the relationship in your Tzitzit of the Tcheles to the Kisei HaKovet. People, oh, you know, that's so far-fetched. All right. So this reminds you of the Yam. The Yam reminds you of this. And the Rekia reminds you of the Kisei HaKovet. By the time, you know, we've gone through all these steps, now you're going to say, you got to be kidding. This is the reason why I'm looking at my Tcheles, so I'm going to be thinking of the Kisei HaKovet. But that's the whole point. It's the steps. It's the continuum. It's the recognition that there's always another layer, and you're so stuck and imprisoned in this stupidity of just being an octopus or just being some kind of snail that's got some ink that it's able to use for defense that you don't understand. That is the Kisei HaKovet, you idiot. And this is so relates to the idea that we talk about, even in the Brocha Asher Yatzar, that it's Lifnei Kisei Chvodecha. It's like unbelievable nekudas of such depth and sensitivity, such awareness, such concern, such passion for the world, that to read the Masechet and not to catch that is pathetic. It's sad. It's just part of the loss of the sensitivity to Ta'anit itself is the loss of the sensitivity to Masechet Ta'anit. So with that in mind, I think we can begin the Masechet. So we're going to start with the interesting fact that we have two completely different things in our Amidah. One of them is the actual bakosha for Mayim. So we're asking for water, and that's like all the other things that we need. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what we need, and obviously water is very primal, a need. So that's not surprising to us in any way. But what's interesting is that during the rainy season, we also mention, and that's called Hazkara, we mention the Geshamim in the second bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, right? Which is the bracha of Gvurot. And in that bracha, that's the bracha that's keneged Yitzchak Avinu, and that is the bracha where everything is in terms of din. It's not just gomel chasadim tovim, it's mechalkel chayim bechesed, which can be done only with Gvurais. Mechalkel devarav b'mishpat is the lashon of the pasuk. So kilkul is din, making sure that each thing is exactly where it is. That's why the main din on Rosh Hashanah is about what? Geshamim. Hareshayu Yisrael tzadikim on Rosh Hashanah v'poskulahem geshamim merubim. And then chas v'chalila they change. What do we do? Or hareshayu Yisrael rishayim poskulahem geshamim muatim. That's all that we worry about is the geshamim? Like that's the only issue? So this is exactly the point, because as the Gemara is going to come out, Geshamim is everything. Geshamim is fertility. Geshamim is parnasa. Geshamim is the depth of the way that you have a future on earth. It's what Adam was originally created for. Ki Adam ayin lavod es Adama, and therefore their Geshem is ayin. And who is the one that deals with the water issues? Yitzchak Avinu. He's the one that digs the Be'erais. He's the one that goes le'es erev Ve'et Setat Sho Avot. He is the one where it says in Ma'aseh Bereishis, it says, Kosiach Hasadeh Terem Yitzbach. He's the one that is Yotze Losuach Basadeh. Because it was that Midah itself that was able to be addressing that Metzias of Adam, that his consciousness and concern and responsiveness is what it is that brings those Geshamim. So the idea that we should have a Haskarat Geshamim in the middle of the Baruch of Gvuras that talks about Trias HaMesim and that talks about Rufua, and so that is a completely different thing. We're not asking for it. It's not that we're saying send us Geshem, and that's the point in our Mishnah. You can't ask to send Geshamim in the middle of Sukkot because you don't want Geshamim. So nowhere is it more powerfully expressed that there's two completely different issues. I don't want it to rain because I'm in my Sukkah, and a rain now would mean that you're rejecting my Aveda, and the whole idea is to have Aveda. And the main Aveda is the Geshamim. And I'm doing all the things to bring Geshamim. And yet I don't want the Geshem now. So what am I doing? I'm waving my lulav around and I'm talking all the time about the beautiful earth. Note how this relates to all the Hoshanas and about how we talk about the flowers and the rain and the clouds and all of the things that we talk about. I always point out it sounds like a bunch of New Age tree huggers because that's essentially what we are during circus. And yet we're not going to ask for Geshem on the personal level. Okay, so then Aveda is strangely involved here as not having Geshem on Sukkot. So what are we doing? We are being Maratza, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in terms of its being the Zman of the Din of Geshamim. Remember that on Sukkot, that is the time, like we just went through in Rosh Hashanah. So in Sukkot, we're paskening the Geshamim. Okay, so we're paskening. If we're paskening, then there's an inyan of Zichreinais. Zechira. Din is Zechira. We just had the whole sugya on Rosh Hashanah up until yesterday. So the Zechira is Mazkirin. And the Mazkirin is to be Meratzat HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shas HaDin about the fact of Geshamim, not our need of Geshamim. And therefore, the differences between the She'elata Geshamim and the Mazkirin Gvurot Geshamim is so profound. Because one is the awareness of the concept of Gvura and where it comes from and how it relates to Ma'aseh Bereishis. And the other is the need. Needs are cheap. That appears anywhere in Tefillah. People always begging God, give me this and give me that. Like a bunch of spoiled brats. But to be Mazkir, the way that the world is, that's the essence of Masechet Tainit. Because it means that now we're actually responsively human. So therefore, when the Mishnah begins with Be'ematai Mazkirin Givurot Geshamim, that is an amazing statement just there. If we stop just there, the relationship of Zechira, not Omrim, it's not that we say it. We're Mazkirin, and it's not Geshamim. It's Gvurais Geshamim. That automatically puts you on notice, literally the first words of the Masechet of an entire vision of life that is going to take the Masechet to be able to fully express. So Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Miyom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag. Now, it turns out that our first opening discussion is, in fact, the discussion that is involved in how do you explain that we're being masked as something that we don't want now. And this is exactly the idea of Azkara as opposed to Bakasha. So, Rebbe Eliezer says, okay, so the first day of Sukkot, that's when to say it, because that's when we're being Isaac and all of the Aveda of the Geshamim. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, no, only on Shemini Atzeres. It's got to be the last day. You don't want it to rain. Oh, Marlo, Rabbi Yeshua, well, it's crazy. If you don't want it to rain, during Sukkot, if it starts to rain and everybody has to leave their Sukkah, so that's a siman klala, like we learned in the second Sukkah. Remember, to an eved that brings a kos to Rabbi, and Rabbi takes the kos and throws it in his face. So we don't want that. So why would you be mentioning it? So if it's only a siman klala, lama hu maskir? Aha, that's the whole point, isn't it? Amarlo Rebbe Eliezer, did I say to ask for rain? I never said a word about asking for rain. I said lehazkir. Now that's not the same, is it? So ela lehazkir, I'm saying, say mashi v'ruach morid hageshem, when that's the time, bo'onato. I'm not saying we want it now. But certainly that is a hanhaga about the nature of the world, isn't it? Oh my Lord, Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Eliezer, so if that's all it's about, why are you relating it to a time? Then you should say that all the time, shouldn't you? I mean, Maman of Shach, if we're talking about not asking, and you're telling me that you believe that the Geshamim are part of the way the world is. So if it's the way the world is, it should have nothing to do with the word Me'ematai. So now we understand that each of those opening words presents a challenge to our understanding of what things are. How could there be a Me'ematai on something that is part of the way the world is? Would you say Me'ematai maskirin Triat HaMetim? No. You're told it's whenever Triat HaMetim will be, so that's when we say it. So why then does it say Me'ematai if it's an Azkara? Doesn't make sense. So say it all the time in the middle of the summer. Why aren't you saying Mashiv Ruach Umorid HaGeshem? Why do you think you sound stupid if you say Mashiv Ruach Umorid HaGeshem in the summertime? Can you tell me? So something's wrong. Says the Mishnah. Okay, we'll see more about the conversation in the Brises and the Gemara. We don't actually show. And that's the end of the Maskirin. Now, what about Sha'alina Takeshamim? When do we ask for Gesh? Ain't Sha'alina Takeshamim? Ela Samuch Likeshamim. So you can't ask it until you have the time that is for the time of rain. And that's only after Sukkot. Meaning, okay, so B'Pashtas it should be on Shmini Atzeres. Okay? So, therefore, I say when it comes to Azkara, we shouldn't be masked there either. Rebbe Yehuda Aimer? Well, we could do it like this. Ha'over lifnei ateva, b'yom tov ha'achron shel ha'chag. It isn't a function of the day. It's actually a function of the particular tefillah that you're on in the day. It's not as simple as you guys are making it out. So, if you are the over lifnei ateva b'yom tov ha'achron shel chag, now note the following language, which the only time that we saw this was in Rosh Hashanah. In Rosh Hashanah, we started talking about the guy who davens the first tefillah and the guy who davens the second tefillah. And that was the first time that we started talking about, oh, you mean it's not the same chazan for Shacharis and Musaf? Well, guess what our first Mishnah in Tanis does? Exactly the same thing. So the Acharon, who's the Acharon? The Acharon is the Mispalot Tefillas Musaf. So the Acharon, he actually starts saying the fact of the Mashiv HaRuach. And the Rishon does not maskir the Mashiv HaRuach. So therefore it needs to be Somuch L'Geshamim, but it's a question of what time in the day. So this we'll see. So why do we do that? Why do we put it off? All to be seen. And B'Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach, we have the mirror image of this, that on the first day of Pesach, the Baal Shachris, who is the Rishon. So the Rishon is Maskir. He does say Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGeshem. And then by the time the last Baal Tevila comes, meaning the Baal Tevila for HaAcharon, who is Musaf, he does not say Mashiv HaRuach anymore. Now this has very Nogel HaLacha. What if you're not in a place where there's a Shliach Tzibur? What about a Yochid? We'll talk about all of those things. But first, let's get the overall shape of this Sukkah. The first question, same question that we had in the beginning of Masechet Brachot. Me'ematai korin kriyat shema. So as we asked over there, what do you mean me'ematai? Don't you think you ought to tell me something about kriyat shema first before you tell me me'ematai? So the same exact lashon as what we ask over here. What do you mean me'ematai? What exactly is the context that you were dealing with that all of a sudden you're asking from when? I mean, first tell me the fact. So Tana Hechakoi Diktani Me'ematai. Why is he saying Me'ematai? Well, actually, the Tana is referring back to the Mishnah in Masechet Brachot, which said, Maskirin Givurot Geshamim B'Tchiyat HaMitim V'Shoalim B'Birkat HaShanim. So we say Givurot Geshamim, we say together with Tchiyat HaMitim, which is the Brach of Givurot. And Shoalim, we ask for the rain in the tefillah of Birkat HaShanim, which is what we do. We say Havdalah in Chonin Hadat. So now, remembering that Mishnah, the Tana says, okay, so now it's time to discuss that. Me'ematai maskirin gvurot HaGeshamim. Says the Gemara, what? I understand. Brachas. Brachas is in Zroim. The concerns of Zroim, which is the Seder of Emunah, is totally different than the concerns of Moed. What are you telling me that we didn't bother explaining And what the Mishnah was saying there, in terms of the dinim of tefillah, why didn't we explain it there? That's all the Mishnah was interested in, is how to set up the tefillah. That's Masechet Brachot, for God's sake. If what we're talking about over here is a Zrayim question, which is how do we set up tefillah, then that's where we should have explained it. So Litnei Atam. Why in the world would we leave it over here in the middle of Seder Moed, where we're not interested in the Ninyonim of tefillahs, per se? We only deal with the tefillahs in terms of what is timely, such as what we just finished. The Malchios, Chroinos, Shaifreis, Musaf, I understand that's a Moed issue. But how does explaining the Seder HaTfilah, how does that have anything to do with Moed? You're right, says the Gemara. The truth is, this is not about tefillah. You see, this is the way to understand this again. This is not about tefillah. This is about Moed. So here we were, we just finished Rosh Hashanah. And we found in Rosh Hashanah, which of course is fundamentally a Moed question, that it said in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, Bechag Nidonim Alamayim. So if we say Bechag Nidonim Alamayim, and we just finished the Inyan of Rosh Hashanah and the relationship that that makes us take into consideration of the din about mayim, so then that means din is mechayev, something in our mind that prepares for din. There's a ritzui for din. There's a process when it comes to din. So because of that, it says, me'ematai maskirin givurot geshamim. Okay, but then why say givurot? I mean, why don't you say me'ematai maskirin ala geshamim? If the concern is for the fact that there's going to be a psak about the din, so then just say, when about the geshamim? So then why not just mention the geshamim? Why do we say givurot geshamim? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, mipnei sheyordim bigvura. It's because the whole idea of rain is that it's coming directly from the concept of gvura, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gvura. It's even though there are some who understand this to mean, they take it to mean, that the yordim bigvura, they're actually expressive of this tremendous power because of the fact that they need to penetrate the earth. But the simple meaning in the Gemara and the proper meaning of its relationship to Rosh Hashanah is obviously that they're yored with the keach of the gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah of gvura. Where do we see this? Shenemar, oseh gedolot ve'ein cheker, nifla'ot ve'ein mispar. So it talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's immense wonders that he does. And of course, this is all in the pasuk in Iyov, where Iyov is involved, remember, throughout, and especially when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings everything to a head at the end, of how you should never imagine that your concept of Ma'aseh Bereishis, your concept of making things, of creating things, of choosing things, of responding to things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Iyov, don't be a child. Don't use your mentality to imagine as if I have your mentality. Don't you understand what Ma'aseh Bereishis means? That it has nothing to do with big hands coming down and making things like you children do? That it has to do with a fundamental taking the nature of reality and making it respond? So that's what it means to be in my hashgacha as well. What are you complaining about? We have no idea even of the simplest thing. Of watching a kitty cat walk down the street. You don't know anything about it, and you're coming to say that I don't understand the way it is that your life should be played out? What kind of absurdity is that? So the whole Eov, basically, is very deeply involved in the nature of the human condition. This everybody understands. But in the interrelationship of the human condition to Ma'aseh Bereishis that comes out so powerfully. Where were you when I created, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts it? What do you know about the interrelated nature of life? About how no one species would be able to exist without an entire world to support it? It's an amazing psukim. So that we go bedavka to Iyov, where we find that the element of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation is cheker, ad ein cheker. When you really come into contact with the wonders that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes, you have to realize that the more you attempt to understand, the more overwhelmed you are by how much there is left to understand and by how far away is the full understanding that it's ad ein cheker. No matter what it is that you try to understand, you just simply raise more questions and more questions, each one of them opening up a whole new world of questions and a whole new way of interrelating to things. That's ad ein cheker. And then we find hanotein matar al pnei oretz v'sholeach mayim al pnei chutzot. So then that means that for some reason there's a relationship specifically to the rain. Yeah, okay, that's all very sweet, but where did it say anything about Gvuras over there? Am I missing something? My mashma. Ah, says Rabbi Bar Shila. Yes, you're missing something, because the opening pasuk was cheker. And anybody who sees those words about Adin Cheker immediately thinks about Maisa Bereishis, because it says Cheker is over here. And we learn out Cheker is a Gzeira Shava from Briata Olam. So it said over here the idea of Cheker, Ose Gedolot Ve'en Cheker. And it says, Halo Yadata Im Lo Shamata Elohei Olam Hashem Borei Kitzot Ha'aretz Lo Yi'af Ve'lo Yiga Ein Cheker Letvunato. So that means that Maaser Bereishis, the one who is Borei Kitzei Sa'aretz, is Ein Cheker. So then that relates the Cheker of the Maaser Bereishis directly to the idea of Cheker of Geshamim. And how does that bring us to Gvura? Ah, because it says, Mechin Harim Bekocho, when we're talking about the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Maaser Bereishis, it says, Mechin Harim Bekocho, Nezar BeGvura. So obviously, that which we see in the creation of the world that we have is an expression of Gvura. So now that we have Cheker associated with the rain, and we also find Cheker in Maaser Bereishis, and we found out that there's a pasuk that says Maaser Bereishis requires Gvura, so now we understand that there is a profound interrelationship between the concept of Maaser Bereishis and the concept of Gvura and the fundamental expression of it in the process of rain. Those are the things that you need to be aware of. This is not, we're not talking about semantics over here. Why do we say Gvurot Geshamim, silly? We're talking about what do you mean when you say Geshem? That's what we're talking about. This is what you have to understand. So we want you to realize that there's an issue of Azkara that's involved, that there's an issue of timing that's involved that's critical, which we haven't understood yet. We just have the questions, that there's an issue of Gvurais that are involved, and that there's an issue of creation that's involved, and that's why we're saying it. Ah, so then you're saying that is something that is part of tefillah. How do we know that it's part of tefillah? I mean, I understand. You want to be mitaken. The idea of bakashas hageshem, obviously that's tefillah. It's something that you need. So Chazal go through all the issues that you need. But where do we see that there should be something that defines the nature of just the zechira per se in tefillah, together with the idea of Gvura itself, the Tanya? Ahavat Hashem Elokechem Lo'avdo B'chol Levavchem. Where is there an avoda which is belev? Havei Omer, zo tefillah. Avoda shebelev has got to be tefillah, because it's a question of responsiveness. Now, right after that, it says, after Le'avat Hashem Elokechem Lo'avdo B'chol Levavchem, that if you do that, v'natati mitar atzechem b'ito yoreo malkosh, that means that the Torah basically puts together the yore and the malkosh with the aveda shebelev. Now, there are all kinds of expressions of why we call this aveda shebelev, but I want to just mention two very important nekudas. Everybody understands aveda shebelev means it's the aveda with a lev, meaning that it's something that requires your own emotional responsiveness. It's about responsiveness, and that's exactly what we were talking about in the beginning when we spoke about the Rambam, that this is all about, tainus is all about responsiveness, and it's all about cruelty and lack of responsiveness. That everybody understands that that's part of aveda shebelev. However, what is the aveda? In other words, okay, so what do I do? So now here, it's fascinating because, I mean, from such different approaches. I mean, you have the Hasidim on the one side and you have the Chazon Ish on the other side. And both of them talk about, you have the Chasam Sefer and the Chazon Ish and the Sfasemes, and the, all say the same thing in different words, that an Aveda Shebelev has no particular Maisa that's associated with it. So how do you work in your heart? I understand you're telling me I should be Oved by pouring water out on the Mizbeach. Okay, I mean, I could do that. But what does it mean to have an Avoda Belev? Is there something that will make that happen? All of us know the pain of having a child who just doesn't give a damn. Is there a way to make a person care? I mean, because that's what you need in order to make Avoda Belev. So, like, how do you make yourself care? What is that Aveda Bichlal? And it's interesting that it, in so many different ways, like, you know, so the Chazon Ish says it his way, and the Sfasemes says it his way, but they both make the point, there is no such thing as what to do. I can't tell you what to do. The Rambam says it in his own way. What, you're going to come to a guy like me, and I'm supposed to give you lessons in how to start caring and how to start being aware? What do I know? So, but both of them say that where you're dealing with an Aveda Shebelev, you're obviously dealing with something that is so holistic that it's in the same way that what where's the heart nogea? Show me one part of the body that it's not nogea. Show me one thing that doesn't have its impact on the lev and the lev's impact on it. This is the circulation of your blood. This is the responsiveness of your heartbeat to everything that's going around, to the threats, to perceived threats, to worries, to anything at all. It's all there. So now you're going to give me some simple solution to the heart problem, put in a pacemaker that will just give the same exact heart. That's all I need. Right? God help us that we should be in that kind of mindset. So the point, therefore, is that saying an Aveda Shebelev means by definition that you have to approach this as something that is part of your overall gestalt. That's the point. Otherwise, there's nothing you can do. You have to be a different kind of person with each day as your Aveda Shebelev. And that's the Indian of being mechadesh in your tefillah. So where does that care come from? It only comes from the discovery of yourself, from caring about yourself, from understanding what it is to be you in a world. That's how he puts it, the Chazon Ish puts it. Where do we learn how to be responsive? Obviously, the correct approach, according to the yeshiva, is to learn, the Chazon Ish explains. The only tool that we have is the depth of your involvement in the sensitivity and the poetry that the Gemara teaches you from Torah Shebaal Peh. And it's that constant questioning and that constant drisha. It's all about the drisha. And that drisha ultimately makes the difference. And it becomes the Avodah Shebelev. You can't work on it directly, as everybody knows. The more you try to work on having kavana and tefillah, the less kavana you have. It's almost as if, well, there's another Hasidic also from Tzadik and so on. The one thing that the Yetzer Hara wants to work on is not to have kavana and tefillah. Because the moment that you have kavana, everything is gone, because then you're starting to actually become aware of yourself and to care, and then he knows it's over. So that's the main work of the sultan. See to it that people cannot be mechaven in tefillah. So there isn't a way to work directly. You're approaching this indirectly. Okay? So therefore, we need to bring here in our sugya the concept of Aveda Shebelev as being itself connected to the holistic sense of what rain means. That's the deeper interrelationship. So why go directly? Minayin Shebe Tefillah, and we need to now start explaining Aveda Shebelev. Yes, because that's where the Torah puts it. The Aveda b'chol avavchem b'chol nafshchem is v'natati mitar tzachem bito. Unbelievable. So that means this entire sense of the holistic vision of an Adam, of what it is to be an Adam, is directly related to the nature of maskirin gevuras gishamim, not to the she'ela of gishamim. And not to actually bringing the Geshamim. But first, the Hakara, Ein Adam Shiyakir Betovatan Shal Geshamim, V'yodea Hashem Tzorech Habriyos, and then Yispalal Aleihem. That's first part is Rashi's expression of Maskirin Adam Ayin, and the second part, Yispalal Aleihem, that's not the Maskirin, that's the Bakash. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, this is why we have Shlosha Maftechot B'yadosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's three keys. Of course, key has a double meaning. Key is what unlocks, but key is also, we say, this is a key issue. So there are three keys that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps close to his chest, so to speak. Doesn't give it over to a shliach. And that would be Elohim, Mafteach Shel Gishamim, Mafteach Shel Chayas is exactly what we were referring to earlier. It's the key to the rains. It's the key to reproduction. And it's the Mafteach of Tchiyat HaMetim. And these are the things that are not replaceable by anything artificial. Mafteach Shel Gishamim, Dichtiv Yiftach Hashem Lecha, Totzeroatov, Et HaShamayim Letet Arzecha Bito. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself has to open up that storage house. Mafteach Shel Chayaminayin, Dichtiv Vayizkor Elohim Et Rachel. This is so much part of Rosh Hashanah, that for Rosh Hashanah, Nifkeda Rachel, that's the Zechira. And that is Dafka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is Zocher, and he is Vayiftach et Rachma. So he hears her tefillah, and is Poteach et Rachma. But nobody else could do that. Yam Avteach shel Tchiyat HaMetim Minayin, Dichtiv Yedaatem Ki Ani Hashem B'Pitchi et Kivrotechem. Now, of course, it's all the Rishonim asks, but we do know that these were given over to people. I mean, Elio was able to be geyser that there should be no Gishamim, and was able to be Mechayim Esim, and so on. So, I mean, why do we say, and to give a bracha to have a child or whatever? I mean, so why do we say it was never given over? So there's two approaches to this. Either it means never given over, bikviut. So in other words, things can be given to someone temporarily, but it's not that there's an appointed tsar over this type of activity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays it close to the chest. Or, as Rashi says, all at the same time are not given. All three are not given at any one time. B'ma Rava Amre, well, you forgot one other thing. The Mafteach Shel Parnasa. It says, Poteach et Yadecho, Masbia L'chol Chai Ratzon. That's your own personal hand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand has to be opened in order to provide Parnasa. How come Rabbi Yochanan left out the fourth key? Says Rabbi Yochanan, my time lochoshev layom alecha gishamim anu parnasa. What do you think gishamim is? Ultimately, what the status is on the earth in terms of its productivity is going to be defined through the gishamim. Okay, the next thing we had was this discussion between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Eliezer says, miyom tevar rishon shel chag. So then, when exactly do you mean miyom tavarishon? Miyom tavarishon, is it the night before? Is it the day? I mean, he's not going a little bit of Rabbi Yehuda, who talks about the difference between the Baal Shachris and the Baal Musaf. So Ibailu, Rabbi Eliezer, Meecha Gomerla, what is going to establish this is the question of what is the mocker. Because look, if you think about it, the reason that it's obvious to us that we need to do something that has to do with the Ritzuri of HaKadosh Baruch Hu before we even want the rain is because we're actually doing on Chag HaSukkot exactly that. Our Aveda on Chag HaSukkot is about rain. So we bring the minim that are very sensitive to rain, and we bring also, that we had the whole Sugya in Rosh Hashanah about the uniqueness of the Esrog and its relationship to Mayim, and it's the question, can it be Godol Arov Mayim, is Godol Mishana Lashana, and so on and so forth. And we have the Arvei Nachal, and we have the Nisach HaMayim. Now, which one is it that Rebbe Eliezer actually is focusing on as his model? I mean, is he learning it out from the Lulav? Is it from the Arbat HaMinim? Or is he basically looking at Nisach HaMayim, which relates back to Adam Ayin? And there's a difference, because if he's learning out from Lulav, so then he only has a marker for mentioning Mashiv Aruch HaMoed HaGeshem in the daytime, because the Lulav is also in the day. There's no mitzvah of Lulav at night, so that means the night before is not when to start. So the Azkara would also be Beyom. On the other hand, if he learns it out from Nisach HaMayim, so then just like Nisach HaMayim is done from the night, the Omar, now, it's not really done from the night. Okay, here's a little bit of a machlokas, and it's a very important machlokas. So Rashi understands that it's done at night means that the entire story begins the night before, and the bringing of the water, and the Simchas Pesach Shoeva, and so on and so forth. This is something that we start our Esek in the nighttime. It doesn't mean that we actually bring the Nisach HaMayim at night. And that the reason that we bring the Pasek of now, umin chatam v'niskehem. That means min chatam v'niskehem is repeated to tell me afilu balayla. Now, that does mean that you can actually bring it at night, but that's a reference to the nesachim of a carbon where you brought the carbon in the day. And this is talking about the nisach hamayim. And the nisach hamayim is not related to a carbon. So the question is, basically, the nisach hamayim is a concept that is connected to the nisach hayayim because it says v'nizkehem. And that means there's more than one type of nesach. One is a mitzvah hayom, and one is a mitzvah of korban. So what we're saying is that since the pasuk says that there's no din in nesach of a mitzvah specifically in the daytime, so therefore the nisach, which is the mitzvah hayom of sukkahs, could be done at night mamish. This is how Tosfos understands it. Rashi understands that the hachana for it is at night. So af haskarami urta. So that's basically what we're doing. We're being masker as a ritzui. So it's like our simchas beis ha-shoeva, so to speak, that we start with it the night before. That would mean that according to Rebbe Eliezer, so he's saying, okay, so then look, you're going to be doing the nisach hamayim in the morning, and you're starting the night before. So start the night before. Tashma. The Amar, remember, we take for granted that it has to do with something in the day because of the fact that we go according to the Shita that we're going to be explaining. We haven't really seen fully the Shita, that there's a difference in the Baal Musaf and so on. We'll see why that's true. But according to Rebbe Eliezer, none of that is valid. We are simply looking at the Avodah Sayom. So the Avodah Sayom either begins during the night, which is very often. This is the question. There's certain Avodahs we do in the nighttime, certain Avodahs we do in the daytime. So Tashma, the Amar Rebbe Abo, it says that Rabbi Abo had a clear raya that the model was the lulav and not the nisach hamayim. The lulav adar Rabbi Eliezer ela milulav. That Dafki learned it from the lulav. How does he know? I mean, we're asking that. Who's Rabbi Abo to tell us? Well, some say Rabbi Abo had a Kabbalah, and his Rebbe told him when he taught him over the sheet of Rebbe Eliezer that he has a Kabbalah from his Rebbe, that what Rebbe Eliezer was saying was specifically based on the model of Lulav, which means that it would only be during the daytime. But some others learn that Rebbe Abo had a Braisa that he was Soymechan, and Matnita Shmiele, which is what? The Tanya. Me'ematai maskirin ala gishamim, Rebbe Eliezer amir misha'at nitilat Lulav. Beautiful. So here it says beferish, that it's all about netilat lulav. And therefore, it must be that that was his motto, and that's why he brings it, in which case, it's during the daytime. Whereas Rabbi Yoshua says, it is about the lulav, but it's about the time when you put down your lulav, not when you take up your lulav. And the last time you put down your lulav is on the seventh day of Sukkot. That's when you put down your lulav, right before the night, and then the next day is when you start. Some say that he means the last day mamish, that he means you do it b'shvi. Okay, but in any event, it says exactly what Rabbi Abo says. My mocker, says Rabbi Eliezer, is netulat lulav. Now, the Braisa here expands on the conversation between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua that we saw in the Mishnah. Oh my Rabbi Eliezer, if these arbat haminim are coming for one purpose only, and they're there as ritzoi for the din on mayim. Enan ba'im ela l'ratzot al hamayim. And what are we saying basically by waving around our arba minim? Kishem sha'arba minim alalu. Yev sharba embalo mayim. These minim are sensitive and they can't be dried. If there wasn't enough rain, your lulav is going to be puzzled. Your minim will look terrible. You're showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look how vulnerable we are to the water. We couldn't even have this without your gishamim. You think that there's less of a sensitivity to the world as a whole? But just because you happen to have like this one place where you see the sensitivity, so therefore you say, yeah, okay, so this one thing needs sensitivity. That's about as intelligent as people who say that, well, you know, I mean, consciousness, that is humans, doesn't mean that consciousness is part of the nature of reality. It just happens to be in this particular min. Right. Okay, fine. So if that's what you believe, that's fine. So, but here we take it for granted. If I'm showing you the vulnerability of one expression of an idea, then that means that idea is profoundly built in to the way things are. So therefore, we need the gishamim. So because of that, we should actually be masking the Gvuras Geshamim in the same time that we're sitting there holding the Arbat Aminim. I mean, what would be the excuse not to? Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua, v'alo Geshamim b'chag, eino ela siman klala. So, but if you don't want them, Wayne, so why would you be saying it? Because if you're saying it in the context of tefillah, isn't that ultimately being merames on the idea that it's something that you want? Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer, listen. I never said anything about asking rain. Afani lo amarti lishol. I said lahaskir. Let me ask you something. Do you talk about tchiyat hamitim as part of the haskaras? In the entire second brocha of gevurais, you say mechaye mitim. I mean, why are you saying, the tchiyat hamitim? You would be maskir kol hashana kula. And the truth is, it's only going to be when it is. So, kach maskirin gvurat hashgishamim, kol hashana, ve'enan ela bizmanam. It may have a specific time, and therefore, I am indeed telling you, says Rebbe Eliezer, you want to mention the gvurat kishamim all year long? I have no problem with that. Im bala askir kol hashana kula, go right ahead. Be my guest. Because we're not talking about asking for gishamim, and basically, he is therefore answering what it was that Rabbi Yoshua tainted to him. So then why don't you say it all year round? You want to say it all year round? Say it all year round. The idea of saying it now is specifically that it should be a retzoy for the din on this time of the year, which is Sukkot. But if you want to say it, there's nothing wrong with saying it. So therefore, don't come at me with a taina. Why don't I say it all year round? We do say it all year round. You say it all year round. You say Tchiyas HaMeisim. Rabbi Omer, Rebbe says, no, you can't say it any time at all. It has to be appropriate. Omer ani, misha'av shemafsik l'sha'ala, if you're not going to ask for rain, so now it's Pesach time. You can't ask for it because it's not the time. So kach mafsik l'askara, so then you shouldn't be maskir it either. In which case, we're back where we started from. So then don't be maskered on Sukkot, because Sukkot is not a good time for it to rain. So it should be considered to be not the Zman of the Geshamim. So it goes back to Rabbi Yoshua. Now, turns out that these are not the only two shitas. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera Omer, you know where you start mentioning on the second day of Sukkot? The second day of Sukkot? Like, what is that? We'll see. But it's B'sheni B'chag that he's maskir. Rabbi Akiva says, on the sixth day of Sukkot, that's when you're masker. Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Yoshua, Aymer. Then this we saw before, we're going to have to figure out who this is exactly. Ha'over lifnei ateva b'yom tova acharon shel chag, so on Shmini Atzeret, the one who is the acharon, who is the Baal Musaf, as we saw in Rosh Hashanah, we saw the same idea of calling the second guy the Baal Musaf. So the acharon is maskir, and the Baal Shachris is eno maskir. And b'yom tov shel Pesach harishon maskir, the acharon eno maskir. So now we basically have five different shitas and when to say it. And these last three, I mean, seem very arbitrary. Where do they come from? I understand that there's a model. I mean, the model would be the lulav for the Aveda of the Nisach HaMayim, but where would we come up with these weird things? Shapir Carmelay Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua is an awfully good point. I mean, that we should speak about the Geshamim, even when it's not its time. We mentioned Tchiyas HaMeisim all the time. Wait a minute. We mentioned Tchiyas HaMeisim all the time. Yes, thank you very much. Would you say that there's a particular time in which we say, no, we don't want Tchiyas HaMeisim today. Sorry, thank you. Some other time. Bye. No. Okay, so how does that compare to the Geshamim? Where for the Geshamim, that is what we would say. So when it comes to Tchiyas HaMeisim, whenever Tchiyas HaMeisim comes, that's perfectly okay. But we don't want Geshamim at the wrong time. Because you're certainly not going to say Geshamim kol eimat da'atyan zimnayui. I mean, it says beferish in the Mishnah that once Nisan is over and starts to rain, then it's a siman klala. And therefore, we're going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're happy that it's raining in the middle of the harvest. Shenemar halok tzirchitim ayom. And Shmuel uses this to prove to Klal Yisrael, look at how bad you are. You should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks that you're disgusting because he's making it rain in the middle, and du'u ra'u ki rabatchem, ra'atchem is rabah, l'sholach ha'melech. So, I mean, we certainly can't compare the Trias HaMesim issue to the Yerida's Geshamim issue. And what would be the makar? I'll just go through this very, very quickly. What would be the makar to say, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira says, B'sheni b'chag u'maskir? Why b'sheni b'chag? The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira omer, Ne'amar b'sheni. The pasuk is different on Yom HaSheni, which every one of the psukim of each of the 7 days of Sukkot, it says, Milvad olat ha-tamid u'minchata v'niska. And yet, on the second day, instead of saying v'niska, it says v'niskehem. And in the sixth day, instead of saying v'niska, that it says on every other day, it says unsacheha. And on the, instead of v'niska. And on the seventh day, instead of saying kamishpat, minchatam v'niskehem, kamishpat, it says kamishpatam. Now that means that we have an anomaly, three anomalies, which are a mem on the second day, a yud on the sixth day, and a mem on the seventh day. Now, guess what that spells? Mayim. Mem, yud, mem. And therefore, mikan remez l'nisuch ha-mayim min ha-Torah. And therefore, it makes sense to do the Yom HaSheni, which was the beginning. So why did Rabbi Yehuda say that? Dechi remize l'ukroi, b'sheni hu deremize. The remez begins on Yom HaSheni, Hilchach b'sheni matkarinan, which explains why we would start on the sixth day. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, well, you know what? We'll do Rabbi Akiva tomorrow, as I don't want to keep you too long. I just want to tell you one beautiful Zohar, and that is that the Zohar points out that the second day and the sixth day and the seventh day is also a remez, because Beis Vav Zion spells booze. And what is that all about? Booze. Booze is the pasuk imitain ish et kol hon beito bi'ahava, booze, booze yavuzulo. So a guy comes and he's trying to buy love, and he's got billions, and says Musk to you, I'll give you everything. I need love. Booze. Anybody who thinks you can buy love is insane, and has just brought booze on himself. And so because of that, the whole beautiful inyan of the Nisuch HaMayim is an expression of the uniqueness of the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael, viewing them as human. This is that money can't buy you love, as the Kabbalah just brought out. Nothing can buy you love. And therefore, it's very similar to the concept of Aveda Shebalev, something that is so holistic, that penetrates so profoundly to what the nature of life is and what the nature of a human being in that universe is, that only someone who shares that with you is capable of the love. That is exactly the idea of the Geshamim that we're looking for over here, and that brings it out so beautifully. Beautiful Zohar. Okay, sorry for keeping you so long, but I think the just giving the perspective is a direction that is extremely important for this Masechet, which is looked down at. Is, you know, it's okay, since it's the easy Masechet for kids, a lot of Agadah does it, so it doesn't really mean anything much. It means everything, and so do the Ta'aniyot themselves. Kol Tov, everybody. Thank you so much for coming. I'm so appreciative. Looking forward, Be'ezras Hashem, seeing you tomorrow. In a completely different context, in a different world, Hoshia Samecha, Oreches Nachalatecha, or Im Vinasim Ado Olam, Kol Tov.